Hey, everyone. Welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Generation Mining. Trade on the TSX under the symbol GENM and on the OTCQB under the symbol GENMF. Chad and I are chatting with the executive chairman and director, Carrie Knoll. Now, Carrie, it's been a couple months since we had you back on the show, and I want to bring everybody up to speed on the company's Marathon Palladium Copper project in Northwest Ontario. The project is just short of 82% owned by the company. And there was a feasibility study that was released this year. That's where I want to start, just to bring everybody up to speed on the stage of this project. It is well-defined. There is this feasibility study out that did show some good economics, seeing base case IRR of about 30%, after-tax NPV at 6% of a little over $1 billion. This is all done at about 1725 palladium and about 320 copper. So those prices are higher right now, especially the copper price. Carrie, take us through really the stage of this project here, how de-risked it is and what some of the next steps for the company are, please.
All right, thanks. Sure. The main thing that we accomplished in the first half of this year was, of course, the feasibility study. And we used the top-tier engineering firms, Ausenco and G Mining and Knight and Piésold, to do that study. And as you mentioned, it came back with some pretty compelling numbers at significantly lower metal prices than we have today. Even though the price of palladium has dropped significantly from its high, and its high was in I think, May this year, it kind of went up in a speculative bubble, and I think it's come down in a speculative bubble due to the lack of availability of chips and car manufacturing. And most palladium goes into automobiles, so that's an issue that will resolve itself over time. So in the meantime, we've taken the feasibility study and we've branched out into the next four or five main steps that we have to do, and of course the main one is environmental assessment and permitting. And that is an ongoing process that we defined a timeline about a year and a half ago, or maybe a year ago, that we expected to get that middle of 2022. And that's the approval of the environmental assessment. And we still expect that to occur. Maybe a month or two beyond what we originally hoped for, but we still hope that it will happen during that time. And we don't see any barriers to that happening. So that's an ongoing thing that's consuming most of our time. The other things that we have to do is we have to do the detailed engineering, because once we get our permits, we want to be able to hit the ground running. And in order to do that, you have to do the engineering. And that's an expensive project, but we've made the decision to go ahead with that now. The other thing that we have to do in advance of production, of course, is order the equipment, the rolling stock, the mining fleet, and also the ball mills. They need to be ordered a good year ahead of time. So we'll be ordering that equipment. We're finalizing with the engineers what the exact sticker on the equipment is going to be, and exact brand of ball mill, size of ball mill, that sort of thing, what exact trucks we're going to use. We're doing trade-off studies right now on whether we use electric or partial electric or diesel, and there's a lot of different pros and cons on all of those. So we're working on all of that. The other one, of course, is the mine financing. Where's all the money going to come from? And we have to raise around $800 million. Of course, part of that will come from pre-production income. So the number may be a little bit less than that. But we're in the process of dealing with streaming companies, private equity companies, smelters, and royalty companies and banks. We're talking to all sorts of different groups and about different aspects of financing. We're trying to do right now a non-dilutive financing. So that would be perhaps part of an offtake agreement, or perhaps part of a down payment on a stream, or one of those different avenues. And we've engaged Endeavor Financial out of London, England, to manage that process for us, and they're doing a great job. So that's part of what we're doing right now. The other thing we're also doing simultaneous to all of this is exploration. We announced some nice drill results, higher grade than our ore body to the north, about 300 meters to the north of our open pit. So pretty close, could be a new ore body, could be an extension of the main ore body, needs a lot more drilling before we know. It won't be part of the feasibility study. Obviously, that's already done. It won't be part of the permitting, but it could be additional mine life added on to this project, as well as there's other two other deposits on this project, which could also add to the mine life. So those are the activities that we're undertaking right now. We've been ramping up people. We've announced one hire. We're going to be announcing two or three more in the next week or two, so that that will show that we're getting very serious. We're hiring some very, very senior people.
Well, Carrie, it's an exciting time for the company, and it's also a time of a lot of projects going on simultaneously, as you mentioned. But just for folks that are not familiar with Marathon, you guys have platinum, palladium, gold, copper, and even rhodium in there. Could you break down for the audience just the size of the deposit and the makeup and the composition of it? Because that will come into that will be important for when you negotiate with potential streaming companies. It'll be important for when you negotiate with the smelters and what kind of concentrate you make. So just walk us through the makeup of the deposit and the size of the deposit, please.
Sure. So there's the resource deposit, which is in excess of 200 million tons. And of that, we have a reserve of about 117 million tons. So we're going to be mining that at about 25,000 tons a day. It's got a 13-year mine life, and that's just with the reserves. There's also additional resources that could be added in on the back end, and we think it's going to be, you know, the long mine life is probably going to be double that. But in the meantime, the feasibility study is the 13 years, and the production from that is going to be palladium equivalent, about 245,000 ounces per year. If you did that as a gold equivalent, it would be about 300,000 ounces a year. So pretty significant. If that was in production today, it would be the seventh largest precious metal mine in Canada. So and ahead of some of the pretty big ones. So it's a significant mine. Its makeup of metals is unusual to have five payable metals, and that is a real dream for streaming, because the minor metals in there, which are gold and silver, they comprise less than 5% of the revenue, but the streamers love those two metals, so we're negotiating those, and then also there's platinum, copper, and palladium mainly. So at the base case numbers that you mentioned, the revenue is about 58% palladium, 27% copper, 9% platinum, and then the rest gold and silver.
Well, and you also have some rhodium in there, which may give you some flexibility with the smelters you'd mentioned in the past. But just so people understand what some of the potential options are on the table, Carrie, are you looking at, you know, optioning the actual platinum and palladium themselves? Are you looking at optioning the precious metals component with the gold? Is it the copper that you would do a stream on or royalty on? What are some of the options you have with those metals as far as when you start looking at these financing options?
So I'll comment on the rhodium first. So just want to make it clear, there is no rhodium in our reserves, because the rhodium content is very, very small, and it did not get assayed for. So in the thousands of drill holes that have been on this project, it was never assayed for. So you could never include it in the reserves. However, we do notice that we got about a gram and a half of rhodium in our concentrate. Concentrate is what we produce and sell to the smelters. Normally, the smelters don't pay for anything under a couple of grams. However, with the rhodium price being high, we have asked them if we can get paid for it. Now, some of the smelters we're talking to don't actually even recover rhodium. Other ones do. They recover part of it. So we're asking to get paid for part of it. One particular group we're dealing with has offered to pay us for half of the recovered rhodium. But again, the rhodium was not something we can include in our economics, because it's simply not in the reserves. But it is something that we're negotiating. And at the very worst, if we don't get paid for it, we think that we can get other credits, a better deal on other items in the concentrate, because you get paid different amounts for different metals. And it's all a negotiating situation. So we think that not getting paid for the rhodium will still be a benefit for us, just the fact that it's there. Going on to the streaming metals, we have an offer on the table on streaming part of our copper, but the vast majority of the stream proposals we've got on the table and also royalty proposals are for the gold and silver. So we are focusing on those. Some of them include a portion of the platinum. So I'm just being candid. It's a negotiation. We are focused on palladium and copper. So those are the metals that we are selling ourselves as, and that's most of our revenue. And the other metals are obviously important to the economics, but not as important. So those are the ones that are available for streaming.
It's okay. I also want to get a quick comment from you on the news that happened back in July, because this project was under JV with Sibanye-Stillwater, and Sibanye decided not to exercise its ownership increase right to expand its ownership to 51% on the project. That again happened in July, but I still understand that Sibanye is still active within this project and also closely related to you guys. Can you take us through how that relationship, how that's working right now?
So we originally purchased this from Sibanye in 2019. And for $6 million, we got quite a deal on it. And that was, palladium was a lot lower in price at that point. And they had, they wanted to have a back-in right. So the back-in right for 31% of the CapEx, they could buy 31% of the project back. They were, by the way, we were 80-20 at that point. So for basically $260 million, they could buy back 31% of a mine that they just sold us 80% for $6 million. So we kind of never thought they were going to do that. We told the market that we didn't think they were going to do that. A lot of people thought that they would because the economics are so compelling. To add to that, they don't operate in Canada. They've never operated in an open pit mine. They have never built a mine in their history. They've been around since 2013. So all of those things add up to me, to our expectation was that they were not going to exercise that that back-in option. The market thought otherwise, and it hurt our share price when that happened. They kind of considered, well, if Sibanye walked away, then they don't like the project. What we learned subsequent to all of that, or right around the same time, is that Sibanye has, and they've announced it again, time and time again, that they were getting away from precious metals, not from their current holdings, but their expansion. They are looking for battery metals, specifically lithium and nickel. They put their money where their mouth is. They bought into a lithium project in Finland. They then bought a nickel refinery in France, which they need to put about $500 million into the upgrading. And then they bought into a lithium mine in the United States, which they also have to put about $500 million into. So their capital is focused in that area. They were not looking at gold. They were not looking at platinum, palladium. Those are metals that they produce a lot of already. And they decided they were not going to expand in that direction. So there's two kind of reasons that we see why they walked away. And they have not sold a share of our company. They are one of our largest shareholders. And we are currently negotiating with them. And if we're able to come up with a deal, we'll buy them out. They also have a bunch of tax pools from their previous owner that they acquired of this project. And we would love to get access to those tax pools because it would save us a lot of money in the eventual production. So that negotiation is going on. No guarantees that anything will come out of it, but we've been candid that's happening.
So then just a quick comment about the financing then. I know a lot of eyes are on the financing and your options. You've outlined a couple of those options, but just how much does the company need to raise in the near term and then big picture for the project?
So we want to maintain a $10 million cushion. So, and that's, we've got a little more than that in the bank right now. So our budget for the next year or so till we start construction is basically about 47 million Canadian dollars. And that's broken down to $24 million for engineering, $13 million for down payments on equipment, about $9 million for permitting, and then the rest is the DNA, etc., maybe some exploration. So all of those numbers, they sound daunting. They're not daunting to us they, you know, we have proposals which we're sifting through and people are making site visits in the next several weeks. So we're working on all of that to raise that money in a non-dilutive financing, but the money is optional. We don't have to spend it this minute because, other than the permitting, which we're going to, you know, keep going gangbusters on, the rest of the money is probably, you know, we don't need it today. We want it sooner rather than later. The detailed engineering is 6 or 8 months. So we want to get that started before the end of this year. And then we also want to start putting some down payments on equipment. So that's what we're working on right now. And by the way, out of the total amount of money, which is a little over $800 million that we're going to need, including working capital to build the mine, a lot of this money will come off the engineering and down payments on equipment are part of the capital. So that will come off that $830 million.
Well, Kerry, just as we wrap up, just walk the audience through what are the key news catalysts that that investors should be looking at as you move towards the balance of the year and into next year, including some of the exploration work you're doing?
So the goals we've got to by the end of this calendar year are to have the project on the permitting front or on the environmental front, have the project meet what's called sufficiency, which means the government acknowledges that they've got all the information they need to make a decision. And so what happened was, is we submitted all of our information to them and we got that all done in April, this past April, and they've been asking a series of questions ever since. We've been answering those questions. Once they have no more questions, we've reached sufficiency. And at that point, they have the material at hand to be able to make a decision. The next step after that will be announcing the community hearings. So the First Nations and the local communities, they will have virtual hearings for all of those communities to hear what people have to say, what questions and concerns people have. So that will be a step that we expect to happen sometime early in the new year. But on the permitting front, we expect to meet sufficiency. On the financing front, we expect to announce a non-dilutive financing hopefully in the next month. Maybe it'll take longer than that, but that's where we're at on the financing front. And we're expecting a lot more exploration results to come out in the towards the second half of October or possibly early November. The assay labs are super backed up. So we're expecting some information on that as well. So those are the three main news catalysts that we expect.
All right, Gary, appreciate the update here. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We'll follow along as the company moves through this financing and then also some of the exploration that we will get some news on. Gary, again, thank you for your time. Have a great rest of your week.
Thanks, Corey and Shad.